Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Narrative First Podcast, the weekly podcast where story is always king. I am your host, Jim Hull, the voice of Narrative First, and this is episode number 22, an introduction to scene structure with Dramatica. Welcome back, everyone, to another fun and exciting week. If you've been paying attention at all to the blog, you'll know that there have been some exciting developments in the last week surrounding scene construction and scene structure from a Dramatica point of view, and this podcast will be an extension of that. It's my first time to actually talk about it, to go over some of the stuff that I've written about. And in the coming weeks, we're going to take a detour from the 8 essential ingredients of story, which were the 8 dynamic questions. We're going to put those on pause, because you've probably heard them a million times, and we're going to look into something new. But it's something old. It's not that I've discovered something amazingly new and different. It's just discovered a better understanding of the different scene events at the scene level in Dramatica. But first, a little follow-up. I received some email last week about broken links, and it's always been something I've always wanted to do, because there's a few broken links here and there on the site when it used to be called Story Fanatic, back when I first started in 2006. And when I ported it over to Narrative First, there were some articles that were lost, some that I forgot to bring over, that anything before 2010 was kind of like the start of it all. The 2009 article, Writing Complete Stories, was the first time I felt like I actually wrote something that was strong enough to be considered, you know, the beginning of what eventually became Narrative First. Anything before then is carried within the vault. So if you go to narrativefirst.com/vault, you'll find a list of all those articles and notes, which are essentially story thoughts, kind of like what's on the blog right now, surrounding story structure and story analysis. And so the problem with those older articles is that they tend to reference articles that haven't been put into the vault yet. So I went through and made all that happen. I went through and fixed all the links, spent a good amount of time fixing that up, got the one sheets for all the movies, so that now if you look at the analysis on the front page, you'll see 4 great stories. It'll have some random stories there. When it comes to analysis on Narrative First, we break up the analysis into 2 ratings, structure and entertainment. And that's recognizing the fact that even though a film might not have the greatest story structure, it's still really entertaining. Or it might be, you know, a really great structure and kind of boring, although that's more rare. Those two, structure and entertainment, have a, you know, 5 out of 5 rating on there. And so the ones on the front page are going to be 5 out of 5s in both categories, and you'll be able to see those and link to them right away. And then also the analysis showcase section, which will showcase different analyses, will show you, you know, amazingly fantastic stories that have a structure of 5 and an entertainment 5, and then really fun movies, but they're broken. Those would be the ones that are 4 or 5 entertainment, maybe a 0 or 1 for structure. And then, of course, the ones you want to avoid at all costs, and those are the 0 or 1s, the goose eggs in either category. So you want to check that out, and I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. It's funny because some of the links that were broken were to external sites outside of Narrative First, particularly some screenwriting consultants who are no longer operational. In the article, The Idea of the Script Consultant, I had linked to John Cork, who had a 2-parter rant against Craig Mazin, the evil Craig Mazin, whatever. You know, he was complaining because Craig's not a huge fan, I don't think, of screenwriting consultants. And, so I managed to find the Wayback Machine archive for that and put the links in there so that you'll be able to read all the goodness that supposedly disappeared. But no, the internet lives forever. And then, the screenwriting screenwriter, who always liked reading his blog, he had a great post about how Dramatica drives him crazy, but in a really good way. And I managed to resurrect that and put that on the site as well. But the best part are the articles in the vault that came back. There was an analysis of Ratatouille, I guess, way back in 2007. Can't believe it was that long ago. About why the film seems so long and describes the broken story limit and the two competing stories, which were probably a result of the two different directors. So that's a really interesting one I always wanted to put up there. And a couple others that I went through and cleaned up that you'll be able to read now. So if you happen to find any broken links, if you get that "Hello, sweetie" line from Doctor Who, and you can't find what it is you're looking for, feel free to write to us at narrativefirst.com/contact, and we will get it fixed. Eventually, I'll bring over all the Story Fanatic articles, everything from back then, and put it back onto Narrative First. That's what I'm in the middle of doing right now. Welcome to our introduction of scene structure with Dramatica. This will be a developing discussion over the next couple of weeks. There'll be some new articles coming out. Once again, I'll be interrupting the essential ingredients of story to discuss this, but it's just too exciting and too interesting just to put on hold until after I was finished with it. So the completist in me is a little worried that I'll be able to get back and complete that series, but I'm sure eventually I'll get back to it once I get through this. So when you look at the scenes within a narrative, those are the smallest elements of structure that most people think of when they think of a narrative. You know, they think of acts, they think of the story, right? That's the biggest part. Then they can break that into acts, because Aristotle told them there's a beginning, middle, and end. And then beneath that, they can see sequences. And beneath that, they can see scenes, and they feel like, okay, well, that's the smallest as a scene. Well, Dramatica breaks it down one more, because, you know, everything has to be in fours, and they talk about the events within a scene. So you have act, sequence, scenes, and events. And the idea is that there are four acts in every story, four sequences in every act, four scenes in every sequence, and four events in every scene. And the really interesting part is that the model is recursive, which means it loops back onto itself. So we're at the very top, above the acts, you have the class level, right? Which is where you have situation, attitude, activity, and psychology. So situation, fixed attitude, activity, and manner of thinking. Those are the classes, the different classes of problems that you can find in a through line. Well, apparently at the very bottom, those events, those four events in the scene, loop back to that class level. So the four events are actually a situation, a fixed attitude, an activity, and a manner of thinking. And at first you think, well, how is that even possible? How does that work out? But when you start to break down functional scenes, it actually works out pretty well. I mean, it feels in a perfectly balanced scene, which, you know, there aren't always perfectly balanced scenes, but those really, really great scenes that you cherish seem to have those four classes all the way down at the element level. So as Melanie explains in her article, How Scenes Relate to Dramatica's Story Elements, she says, so each event in a scene will have a 1-2-3-4 for sequential order, a PRCO for context, and be a situation, a universe, attitude, mind, activity, physics, and mentality, psychology. In other words, the four required events for every complete dramatic movement at the scene level will be something situational, attitude illustrative, active, and exhibiting mentality. And I've got some really cool ideas for examples. I've already started to work one for tomorrow with a film clip and go over these different, what I'm calling the four modalities of scene construction. And that's basically what we're going to get into today. The first one we want to look at is the 1-2-3-4, or another way to think of it is setup, revelation, conflict, and aftermath. That describes the order in which the events in a scene play out. So no matter what, you see, the first one that you'll see will be the setup, the second one you'll see will be the revelation, the third one you see will be the conflict, and the fourth one will be the aftermath. And it's important to know that SRCA, which is the acronym for it, is not a story weaving technique. It's not like Memento, where you can show the conflict first, and then the revelation, and then the setup, and then the aftermath, and you can go back and forth. It's really the order in which that dramatic circuit is presented. You can't really mess with the order in which it's presented, because it has to be delivered in a sequential manner. It has to be delivered linearly, either through sentences in a novel or in scenes in a movie. And you can put all kinds of story weaving techniques on it afterwards, but when you're looking at the meaning of a story, the meaning that's wrapped up in the story form, that order of the events in the story form carries with it part of the message that you're trying to communicate. So that 1-2-3-4, that's kind of like the time quadrant in a Dramatica quad. And we're going to go through each one. So there's mass, energy, space, and time in a external quad. So mass is in the upper left-hand corner, and energy is in the bottom right. That's a dynamic pair to mass. And then space is in the upper right. That is a dynamic pair to time, which is in the lower left. So the 1, 2, 3, 4 are SRCA, that's in the lower left, that's time. The dynamic pair to the 1, 2, 3, 4 is the PRCO, which is potential, resistance, current, and outcome. And it's a dramatic circuit, and it's an analogy to an electric circuit. So you have the potential, you have the resistance, you have the current, or the flow of energy through that, and the outcome. And while we are looking at the flow of energy, this isn't really about energy itself. It's about the relationship between those components within the dramatic circuit, because it's all seen as one unit all at once. And you're just using potential, resistance, current, and outcome to describe the relationship between those dramatic units to each other. So that's a really important thing to understand. A great quad in Dramatica to kind of understand or wrap your head around potential, resistance, current, and outcome is the quad of problem, symptom, response, and solution. So at the bottom of every through line, you have those 4 points, problem and solution, symptom and response. And they work together in the same way that PRCO does. So the problem arises with the introduction of an inequity and creates the potential for dramatic conflict. Okay, that's where a problem is in the overall story. That's where that first story driver starts. In the main character's through line, it's, you know, where they're personal baggage began. That introduction of the inequity creates a potential for conflict. So that's where you get potential. The symptom represents the resistance to that inequity in the form of misconstrued focus. So the reason that a symptom works and the reason why people don't solve their problems right away is they're focused somewhere else. They're resisting that potential. And then the response acts as a current to the combined application of the potential and the resistance. So you mix that symptom with the potential and you get that current, which is the response. And finally, the solution functions as the power or the outcome of that dramatic circuit, the result of the first three interacting with each other. So there you go. You have problem, symptom, response, and solution, and you have potential, resistance, current, and outcome. I'm not saying it's always in that pattern, but that's a good way to think of it so that you can understand how they all work with each other. Now, the Dramatica story engine, what it does when you make those dynamic question choices, you know, those 8 questions up at the top, the main character resolve that we were getting into a couple weeks back, main character growth, main character approach last week, and then we were coming up to the story outcome, story judgment. All those dynamic questions, those actually set up how the model is aligned and how it's twisted up when it comes time to wind up the story and create that dramatic potential in there. Well, when it's doing that, it actually puts markers on every quad. It sets up the 1, 2, 3, 4, the sequence there. And it also sets the PRCO for every dramatic unit, for every quad within that table. So there's PRCO at the class level, PRCO at the type level, at the variation level, and even down at the elemental level. So they're all there, but Chris and Melanie decided a long time ago not to reveal that information because, as you'll see, for those of you who are actually writers and have written a bunch, it gets into a bit too much detail and it's so overwhelming. You know, there's, what, 9,600 different scene events or whatever it is. It's like, it's so overwhelming that it really starts to lose its benefit to actually help out writers. And so what Chris and Melanie decided to do was just reveal the 1, 2, 3, 4 for the signpost level. That's the plot progression that you see. And leave the rest up to the writer. The analogy I use is when you look at like a table, like a wooden table, if it, you know, at a certain distance, it's a table, and you can change the actual grain of the table and change how it's composed, but it's still going to be a table. You know, it doesn't suddenly become a chair. So yes, what we're going to get into are the order of events and the specific components that go into scenes. But really, if you get them out of order or you don't make a perfectly balanced scene, you still can write a great story because, like Melanie is so fond of saying, people don't go to a story for perfect structure. So you may be drawn towards it. You may want it to be ultimately perfect. But the more perfect you make it, you know, it's like the more perfect you make it, the less apt somebody is to embrace it because it'll seem less and less like real life. Like real life isn't perfect structure. There's chaos involved and things come in and mess stuff up. So it's actually okay if you don't have perfect structure. You know, if you mess up the order of the signposts within a through line, you know, if you put signpost 3 in the overall story before signpost 2, that's going to have a huge difference, right? That's going to really change the meaning of the story. And in the articles, you know, in some of the blog posts in there, I actually show how changing the order with the same events will actually create a different story at that level, because it's a massive level. That's a huge shift. But if you go through and change the order of the events within scene 3 of sequence 3 in signpost 2, and you get one of them out of place, nobody's going to know the difference. It's not going to make that big a deal. But it's still fascinating and interesting to think of perfect story structure. So that said, we'll continue on. So we have 1-2-3-4, or SRCA, and then we have PRCO, which is potential resistance, current, and outcome. And the upper left, the mass or knowledge of the story form, would be TKAD, which stands for thought, knowledge, ability, and desire. And that's just a shorthand for the actual story form. So if you look at, you know, that's where the base of the story form is, the message. And if you look at the quad of thought, knowledge, ability, and desire, you can actually find it under being or playing a role at the sequence level. You'll see it there. You'll see they're arranged with knowledge in the upper left, thought in the lower right, ability in the upper right, and desire in the lower left. And those match the external domains or classes. And this is where we find that situational event, the fixed attitude event, the activity event, and the manner of thinking event. So those four events that Chris and Melanie say are in every perfect scene, that's them right there. So far we have three parts of the quad. We have the 1-2-3-4, or the SRCA, and then we have the PRCO, which is how those events relate to one another. And then finally we have the thought, knowledge, ability, desire, which is equivalent to fixed attitude, situation, activity, and manner of thinking. But then there's that fourth one. And with Dramatica, there's always a fourth one. It's always one that's missing. And the interesting part is in every quad, it's not really this flat circle. It's supposed to be a spiral. You know, it's supposed to, there's a vertical component to it that you can't actually see. And the way they account for that vertical component is they cram it all into one of the elements within the quad. And there'll always be one in the quad that feels kind of out of place and makes you like, how does that fit in there? You know, like impulsive responses when you're looking at memory, innermost desire, and contemplations, or progress when you look at past, present, and future. It's like progress is in there. Well, how do you differentiate that? That's where the vertical element of the quad is all crammed into. So really, you know, as you move through a quad, it's going up, I guess, perfectly 25% at each time, but because that would kind of lose its purpose, or it would kind of destroy the functionality of it, they cram it all into that fourth one. And I feel like that's what is in that bottom right one. In Melanie's article on how scenes relate to Dramatica story elements, she ends it with a section where she describes active and passive scenes, structural and storytelling scenes. And because I was so excited about putting those other three out there last week, I saw active and passive, and that made sense, but I didn't understand the difference between structural and storytelling, so I kind of discounted it and felt it was something that was, you know, kind of like the Lost Theory book, where it's interesting, but maybe it doesn't all work into it. But after a week now, I think it actually is that bottom right, that final quadrant. Because if you think of the activity class, right, in the upper right, you have four types there. You have understanding, doing, obtaining, and learning. And again, it's the same arrangement as the TKAD and the other quads. So the understanding, that's where you deliver the story form message. That's where TKAD is, right? And then doing, that's the PRCO. So that's how everything relates. You know, it's what the components actually do, what the events do. When you look at obtaining, it's kind of like those are the achievements in time. You know, I'm achieving this part, and then I achieve this step. So that matches up with SRCA, and so that leaves learning. And you have to have some way of communicating this to the audience. So this is the teaching. Teaching is another way to look at learning or gathering information. So this is how you are delivering or illustrating the four events to an audience. And you have active, passive, structural, and storytelling. The structural scenes, those actually deliver the story form message, and the storytelling, they impact the audience's appreciation of the story form. And then active actually pushes the story forward, and passive just delivers the information. So it's very compelling. It's very interesting. I just wrote something about it today. I'm going to factor it into the examples that I'm going to be developing over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, when you actually write it down, I mean, Melanie just riffs it off and it just makes like, wait, what is this? You have to actually write it out to understand it. But if you break it down, passive structural scenes illustrate those four events in terms of character, plot, theme, and genre. Okay, passive storytelling scenes illustrate the events by impacting the audience's sense of situation, attitude, activity, and way of thinking. So you see, structural is all about the character, plot, theme, and genre, and the storytelling is about situation, attitude, activity, and way of thinking, about the audience's sense of that. Then an active structural scene uses the four events to move the story forward through character, plot, theme, and genre. In active storytelling scenes, those use the four events to invoke changes in the nature of the audience's situation, attitude, activity, and way of thinking. Okay, that's all great, but here are some examples. Probably most of the Death Star attack sequences or scenes in Star Wars involve the audience in a vicarious activity, right? So same with the desert chase sequence in Raiders of the Lost Ark. So those are storytelling. Are they passive or active? They're very active storytelling because they're pushing the story forward. If you've seen A Separation, which was the foreign film out of Iran that won the Oscar, it's a fantastic film. The opening battle between husband and wife, where they're just sitting there and we're the judge actually judging them, passive structural for sure. They illustrate the story form through character, plot, theme, and genre. This will likely be the first example I do, but they don't push the story forward as they would with an active structural scene. So this is just a passive structural scene. It's like communicating the story form, illustrating it, and just setting it up, not actually, you know, moving things forward. The scene where Inigo Montoya stands up to the six-finger man in The Princess Bride, you know.
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That would be active structural, right? So character, plot, theme, and genre pushing the story forward. So this is opposed to the Separation one where they're just telling the story form. This is actually using the story form to move the story forward. And then finally, that scene in Harry Met Sally when Meg Ryan proves to Billy Crystal that women can fake anything. And no, that's not going to be my impersonation for this week. That would be passive storytelling. And that's just meant to affect the audience's prejudiced attitudes towards the other sex. So it's just funny, right? So it doesn't really affect the story form, doesn't push the story forward. It's just passive storytelling. But all this is theoretical unless we get some kind of example. The classic example that's used a lot of times in the dramatic theory of story is the out-of-control horse and buggy running towards a brick wall. So first, let's look at PRCO, potential, resistance, current, and outcome. So the potential would be a runaway horse pulling the buggy. Okay, that would be number one. The resistance would be someone in the buggy madly pulling on the reins, trying to stop the horses. So you got the potential, which is a runaway horse. Then you have the resistance, which is somebody inside the buggy trying to pull the horses back. And then you have the current, which is the horse and buggy rapidly approaching the wall. And then finally, you have the outcome, which is a large wall with a bunch of unconscious horses lying in a pile around it. It might seem like PRCO is the order in which things really happened, right? With the example of the horse and buggy, the potential, resistance, current, and outcome, that order is exactly how things happened in real life. And then the 1, 2, 3, 4 is how it's presented to the audience. But really, this is supposed to work as an analogy to what is really going on in the story form. It's hard to explain right now, and it'll probably make more sense next week when we go over what happens when you shift the order of potential, resistance, current, and outcome with the same kind of events and same kind of story. The potential could very well have been the guy in the buggy trying to pull on the reins, and the resistance could be the horse madly approaching the wall. Out of those four events, you could very well switch around the potential, the resistance, current, and outcome, and you would get a different dramatic feel to that story. So you got the potential, which is a runaway horse. Then you have the resistance, which is somebody inside the buggy trying to pull the horses back. And then you have the current, which is the horse and buggy rapidly approaching the wall. And then finally you have the outcome, which is a large wall with a bunch of unconscious horses lying in a pile around it. That would be the potential, resistance, current, and outcome of that scene, of that dramatic scene. But you could reveal it in a different order. So when you go to SRCA, the 1, 2, 3, 4, it could be revealed in a different order. For instance, you might lead with the outcome first, with number 4, a large wall with a bunch of unconscious horses laying in a pile around it. That's what you see first. And then secondly, you then see the potential, a runaway horse pulling a buggy. And then you might focus on the resistance, which is someone in the buggy madly pulling on the reins, and then finally end with the current as the horse and buggy rapidly approach the wall, and then you could cut away. So that would be 4-1-2-3. And there are many different combinations, but that would be one where PRCO is represented in OPRC. And then we turn to TKAD, where you apply fixed attitude, situation, activity, and manner of thinking to the four events. So perhaps a bunch of unconscious horses lying in a pile, that could be the situation. Horse and buggy rapidly approaching a wall, that could be the activity. And then a runaway horse pulling a buggy, that could be the fixed attitude. And a manner of thinking, that could be someone in the buggy madly pulling on the reins. And of course, you might wonder these last two, how is a runaway horse pulling a buggy? Why isn't that an activity? And it's really, you're trying to look for the source of conflict. With everything in Dramatica, you always want to look for the source of conflict. So it's not really just a storytelling thing, situation, fixed attitude, activity, manner of thinking. You want to see where the source of problems are. So yes, a bunch of unconscious horses next to a wall, that's a problematic situation. Horse and buggy rapidly approaching a wall, that's a problematic activity. But a runaway horse pulling a buggy? Well, if we applied that to a horse who's either fearful or panicking, you know, impulsive responses, that would fit in fixed attitude. And with the some person in the buggy trying to madly pull on the reins, well, that's a manner of thinking because they're trying to manipulate or convince the horse to stop. So it's a bit of a stretch. It's not a perfect fit. I mean, this scene was not constructed to be a perfectly structured scene. But those four events, you can see how they fit and how they kind of make a complete scene. Like, it feels really complete. It gives you a means by which to construct solid, meaningful scenes that are purposeful to the story form. And then lastly, we have PASS. Passive, active, structural, and storytelling. And the determination is, what kind of a scene is this? Is this a structural scene, or is this a storytelling scene? Offhand, I mean, I don't think there are any clues, but offhand I would say it's a storytelling scene. And quite possibly it's an active storytelling scene, because perhaps maybe these horses and this buggy, it's an important thing. But I don't know if it has any deep structural meaning to it. I mean, it could. Perhaps maybe the whole story is about control and uncontrolled, and this is a scene where you're showing how trying to overly control something just makes matters worse. I mean, then that would be an active structural, but I feel like it's a passive structural scene. And that would be one where you want to affect the audience's sense of a situation, a fixed attitude, an activity, and a manner of thinking. Perhaps this is an animated film, and it's about the horse, and he feels trapped. And so perhaps you want to impact the audience's sense of their situation as that horse. And then maybe you want to impact their attitude with the guy in the buggy. Maybe he's just completely fed up with his horse and can't deal with him anymore. So you want to affect their sense of how the audience feels. And then activity, I would still think again, activity would be the horse and buggy rapidly approaching the wall. You probably build that up, make it feel really frightening, exciting, compelling. And then lastly, that would leave manner of thinking for the unconscious horses lying next to the wall. Maybe this is a propaganda piece, in a manner of speaking, to show, you know, the effects of animal cruelty. And perhaps you want to get the audience to rethink having horses pull buggies. I mean, it's kind of out there, but that would be the idea of how you would write an active storytelling scene. So there we have the four modalities for the classic horse and buggy rapidly approaching a wall. So when you have these four, those are the modalities of illustrating the story form. So we have the time in which those events appear. We have the PRCO, which is how they relate to one another spatially in the story mind. Then we have the actual message that's carried within the TKAD. And now finally, we have the illustration mode, the illustrative modality of how it's delivered. And to me, that's really, really exciting, because while we're talking about scene construction, that actually happens at every level. It's supposed to be, you know, it's a fractal model. So everywhere you look, well, you know, there's PRCO and there's 1-2-3-4 and there's TKAD, but there's actual, you know, you can also do the active, passive, structural, and storytelling in every level. Next week, I'll probably go over potential resistance, current, and outcome some more. But if you can start thinking of, you know, if you're actually sitting down and writing your scenes, hey, you know, whenever we run into any kind of stumbling block or the scenes seem kind of flat, you can just sit there and go, okay, well, are we covering, you know, situation, activity, fixed attitude, are all the events in there? Okay, well, then how do they relate to the PRCO and the 1, 2, 3, 4? And I know that, you know, we can't really see it in the story form, but you can get a pretty good idea from it. And even if you're wrong at that level, it's not going to make a difference. But if you're consistently wrong, then I think that's okay. I think you'll still be able to get the message across. And then, of course, be able to create a balance between the structural and storytelling scenes, you know, so that it's not all structure and it's not all storytelling, that there's a balance between them. And of course, active and passive. And I'm sure there's a rhythm to it that you could build up and, you know, you can make it more intense. You can make a bunch of storytelling and then come back to do some structural and just be able to weave it back and forth. It's just more tools in your toolbox, more ways to understand how the story form works from a dramatica point of view. So that'll do it for the introduction for this week. I just wanted to get that out there and start talking about these four modalities of scene construction. You know, we have SRCA, PRCO, TKAD, and PASS, P-A-S-S, which stands for Passive, Active, Structural, and Storytelling. And it's great because what it is it's the author passing on the story form to an audience. In the same way that writing a story with a dramatica story form makes it feel more complete and emotionally compelling, perhaps following these four modalities of scene construction can give your scenes the same kind of robust, meaningful purpose that a story form has for your story. If you would like to read more about this, you can go to the blog, narrativefirst.com/blog, and go backwards over the last week and see the discussion, how it's being developed. Or you can actually go to the scene concept, which you'll find narrativefirst.com/archive/concepts/scenes. Hope you have a great week of writing, and we will see you next week.